We mention that the purpose of the world is pleasure, not just tam any pleasure, not a fleeting pleasure, not a temporal pleasure, but an eternal pleasure, which is a connection between us and Ribono Shel Olam. And the place for that eternal great pleasure is really in Olam Haba. We are really chelek eloka mimal. We are a part, our neshama, which is, right, we describe the mushal of the box, but the essence of man is really the pnimiyut, the part that's inside the box, and that's really a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the purpose of this world is to reunite that part with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to get that part of Ribono Shel Olam as close as and connected once again with Ribono Shel Olam to be one. Kirva. If that's the case, we must ask the following question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to go through all this trouble of creating a physical world, of getting where the whole purpose is to get that spiritual element that's within us to connect with Him? Why did we need all this for? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tov, and by definition, a Tov is a Meitiv, like we described already, and therefore His whole essence is one which wants to be Meitiv with us and give us the eternal greatest good possible, which is Himself, to us, why did He have to create us in this physical setting? Why couldn't we be just spiritual beings? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given of Himself to us, to our neshama, which in any case was a chelek eloka mimal. He would have just given over His spiritual greatness, His spiritual goodness to us. We would have had eternal hana'ah on the greatest level forever. Why did we have to go through all this business of the physical world with all its difficulties in order to get back to there in the first place? He could have made that in the first place. So we can't obviously have a complete answer to this question, but part of the answer is very important for us to realize. And there really are two parts to this question, to this answer. First of all, we're striving for the greatest good. And the greatest good is something which we earn. When we earn something, we feel it, we appreciate it, and it's a greater pleasure than if it's just given to us for nothing. That musag is called, anybody know? The musag that I'm looking for is called nama de kisufa. Nama de kisufa means bread of shame. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds us and we don't deserve it, we get something for nothing. You know, if you give a handout to an ani constantly, he feels funny. He feels that he didn't earn it, he didn't work for it, and he doesn't really enjoy it as much. A child who is constantly given everything without any effort on his part doesn't really enjoy it. But if you work for something, you strive for something, and then you earn that something, you enjoy that accomplishment a lot more. So part of the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a physical world with all its troubles and with all its difficulties in order to get to the point back to where He could have given us that in the first place is in order that we should have the greatest pleasure. And the greatest pleasure is when we earn that pleasure. That's answer, part of the answer number one. But the thing which I really want to discuss today is answer the part number two, or answer number two to this question. And answer number two is growth. The idea of growth, Now this is needs a little bit of concentration on your part because it's a deep concept. Okay. The difference between the physical world and the spiritual world. You all learned elementary physics, okay? What's the main components of the physical world are time and space, okay? Time and space. We actually have dimensions. Huh? Did you get that? Close. Okay. In any case, actually, just as an aside, I'll give you a very small insight into a Kabbalistic idea. Right? In the Western world, we speak about dimensions, right? How many dimensions has this blackboard?
Two.
Two dimensions, right? This way and this way, right? Something that has, in a physical world, let's say this Ständer, has three dimensions, right? There's height, width, and depth. Three dimensions. Those are all within space, right? Then there's a fourth dimension. What's the fourth dimension? Time. What's the fifth dimension? No. That's in the physical world. There's only four dimensions. The fifth dimension is the supernatural. Okay? Above, right? Above the natural. The fifth dimension is beyond the physical world. Okay. By the way, in Yadut, in Kabbalah, they speak the same way, but the numbers are different. Okay? How does it work? How many dimensions are there in, when we, all the Svarim talk about, how many dimensions are, let's say, the Shtendah? So in Yadut, in Kabbalah, they are six. Okay? What are they? Mizrach, Marav, Tzafon, Darom, Malamata. Okay? In other words, and it makes a lot of sense, if you have a cube, how many sides does the cube have? Six sides, right? Okay, so six sides. So what's the seventh dimension in Yadut? What? Time, right. Seventh dimension is time. And that's why in the physical world, there are seven dimensions. Okay? In Yadut. What's the eighth dimension? The supernatural. Lamala Menatzev, right? That's why, right, the Maharal on Chanukah, eighth, the number eight, Shemoni Yemei Mila, the eighth day of Chanukah, Lamala Menatzev, okay? Just as an aside, guys, listen up. Just as an aside, the number seven, as being the number of the ancient world, in the ancient world, that was the number of Teva, we see in a lot of different examples, right? Seven seas, there are seven seas. There are how many colors in the spectrum? Seven colors. Roy G. Biv, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Seven colors in the spectrum. How many notes in music? Seven in the Western world. Seven, right? Do, me, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. No, do is starting again from the beginning, guys. Okay? You guys are too hooked on the song from The Sound of Music. Okay, anyway, the Kitzur. The do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Huh? 7 days of the week. Okay? Now, seven. No. Okay. Anyway, Bikitzer. Obviously, 7 days is all, that's the way we look upon things, is within Teva. All right? Lamalat Minateva is eight. Anyway, that was all Derech Agav. Listen up. So now, we have a physical world. Physical world has time and space. What's the non-physical world called? It's the world of Ribono Shalom. It's the world of the Ein Sof. It's the world of the infinite. Okay, the Ein Sof. Now, what the Ein Sof doesn't have, and the physical world does have, by the words that it says it, is it doesn't have Sof, right? It doesn't have a Sof. It doesn't have a Hatchala. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. It's infinite. Okay? This shtender, using our example, this shtender has a beginning and it has an end. And by virtue of the fact that it has a beginning and an end, it can move. And since it can move, it can be in a different place. In the world of the Ein Sof, there is no beginning and there is no end. And that's why there is no movement in the world of the Ein Sof. There is no movement, there is no growth. The way you start is the way you end. You can't go from one place to another place. And that's why the Malachim, that's why the Malachim have no growth. Usrafim omdim mimalo. We're going to say soon in the davening of Yom Narayim. Usrafim omdim. Malachim are omdim. They're stacked. They don't move. They have no movement. They have no growth. But we, on the other hand, have a beginning. We have an end. And therefore, there is movement. There is growth. And we go by what? Halacha. Halacha is a lashon of holech. We walk. We move. We grow. That all takes place in this world. And therefore, what are we doing here in this world? We are here to build our kli kibul. We are here to build our receptacle of the shefa haruchani of Ribono Shel Olam. If a person builds in this world a small kli kibul, that's how much he of shefa of Ribono Shel Olam he gets in the next world. No more. Whatever you do in this world, that's what you get in the next world. If you build a big kli kibul, you have a lot of shefa of Ribono Shel Olam in the next world. It's all based on what we do and prepare for in this world. A receptacle. A kli that's makabel. Okay? Okay, so now, hold on. Let's just finish the thought. We have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which sounds a little bit contradictory. The Mishnah says like this. Yafa sha'a achat shel Torah u'mitzvot ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. V'yafa sha'a achat shel korat ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayei ha'olam hazeh. So let's say it again. Yafa sha'a achat shel Torah u'mitzvot ba'olam hazeh mikol chayei ha'olam haba. It is greater. It is more beautiful. It is more powerful. One moment of Torah mitzvot greater than all of Olam Haba. All of the life in Olam Haba. One moment of Torah mitzvot in this world. But it is greater, more beautiful, more powerful. One moment of Korat Ruach. Korat Ruach means satisfaction, if you will. In Olam Haba than all of Olam Hazeh. What does that mean? Isn't that contradictory? Which is greater? Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba? Based on what I just told you, we can see what's pshat in this Mishnah. They're talking about two totally different things. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about Torah and Mitzvot. As far as Torah and Mitzvot go, this world, even one moment of this world, is greater than all of Olam Haba. Why? Because in Olam Haba, there is no growth of Torah and Mitzvot. We all know that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, cried on his deathbed. And they asked him, why are you crying? You're going to a much better world. And he said, because for a couple of kopecks, a couple of pennies in this world, he held on to his tzitzit, for a couple of pennies in this world, I can get a mitzvah, which is shakol keneged kol haTorah kula, keneged kol haMitzvot. But in the next world, for all the money in the world, I can't get even one small mitzvah. There are no mitzvot of growth in Olam Haba. When it comes to growth of Torah and mitzvot, one moment of this world is greater than all of Olam Haba. Because Olam Haba does not even have 1 millimeter of growth. All the growth is done here. Nothing is done in the next world. But when it comes to sachar, when it comes to satisfaction, when it comes to korat ruach, the pleasure that we're going to get in Olam Haba, even one moment of Olam Haba is greater than all of the pleasure that a person gets for his entire lifetime in this world. Okay? So we're talking about two totally different things. The next world is the place of pleasure. Real pleasure. This world is the place of growth. So there is pleasure in this world too. But it's fleeting and temporal and minimal compared to the pleasure in the next world. And there is growth in this world, but there is no growth at all in the next world. Here in this world, we can build our spiritual place in the next world, our spiritual world, to make it bigger, make it better, polish it, perfect it. Okay. Now, we, therefore, now here's the kicker here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we are made up of a spiritual component. In order for us to be able to grow our spiritual component, he had to link that spiritual component with a physical body, with a physical element, because there is no movement and no growth outside of a physical world. Only in a physical world can you go from here to there, from a beginning to an end. You can move from one place to another. Something that is totally spiritual cannot grow. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take the spiritual element of our neshama and place it in a physical guf in order to enable that neshama, by linking one to the other, he was able to give the ability to that spiritual element to be able to move from point A to point B and to be able to grow. That's why Hashem did it that way. Because if he would have just created a spiritual element and tried to give it pleasure, there would be no possibility of being able to grow in a totally spiritual world. Question. He gives of himself. So we don't understand that completely. Yeah. But the closeness that we get from being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the Korat Ruach. These are begedr dvarim shelo yodim ech yiyeh ad sheyiyeh, right? Like the Rambam says, we don't know how it's going to be until it is. But suffice it to say that that's what it is. Okay.
Are we just doing everything for more pleasure in the next world?
Yeah.
It seems like it's all about pleasure.
In a chanami. That's what the Ramchal says at the beginning. We mentioned that 2 weeks ago. In a chanami. That's the final goal. The final goal is to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the pleasure that we're striving for in Chanam. That's really it. Okay, now, let's talk some about growth. This is really important stuff. Growth. How do we grow in this world? How do we grow? So, first of all, we have a clock. Gadol ha-metzuveh ve'oseh mimisha eino metzuveh ve'oseh. A person who is commanded to do something and does it is greater than someone who's not commanded and does it. Right? What's the problem with that? It seems counterintuitive. Good. Who asks that question? Gemara in Kiddushin, Tosfot asks that question. Tosfot says this question, what do you mean? Isn't it better to do something out of your own volition, out of because you want to do it? Isn't that greater than doing something because somebody says you have to do it?
No.
Isn't that better? Answer, Tosfot.
No, someone says you have to do it, you don't want to do it.
Exactly. When my mother tells me to take out the garbage, okay, a voice within my gut screams out, no, I don't want to do that. But if the next door neighbor, the old almana, calls me up and says, you know, I don't have any strength to go down the stairs. Can you please come help me take out the garbage? You run to do the mitzvah, right? Because there someone is asking you, and you're, so to speak, doing it on your own volition. And here, someone is telling you, you have to do it. It's much more difficult. If someone's able to overcome that voice in his gut which is screaming out no, if he's able to overcome that Yetzer Hara which tells him don't do it because he's commanded to do it, he is greater than the one who's commanded. Right? That's the klal of Gadol Mitzvah Votzvei and Mishen and Mitzvah Votzvei.
Would that be to say that somebody that grew up in like an Orthodox home and expected that their parents followed him for has greater scar than somebody with a pinball tube or...
Well, let's talk about it in a minute. Hold on. We'll get to that in a minute. So now, we'll get to that in a minute. In any case, what do we call this when a person overcomes that Yetzer? What do we call that? It's a nisayon, right? It's a test, right? A nisayon. Now, what does this word nisayon mean? The word nisayon we know to mean test, but it really comes from the word nes. What's a nes? Well, we use the term for miracle. We also use it for something else. No, it really is connected. An ensign, a flag, is also lahalot al nes. In other words, if I take something that is on a certain level, but I raise it up to a high level, that's a nace. If I pick something up from one level to another level, that's a nace. A miracle is the same way. A miracle is if I personally or nationally witness something that is, I consider to be a nace, and I recognize it, I've raised myself up from a certain spiritual level to a higher spiritual level because I've witnessed something, an action that I can relate to being the Yad Hashem, Yad of HaKadosh Baruch. So it's really a nes, by definition, is something which raises a person or a people from a certain level, a lower level, to a higher level. That's a nes. And so too is a nisayon. And nisayon, by passing a test, I'm raised up from a lower level to a higher level. Okay, so we grow through passing nisyonot. Okay? Now, I want to ask you a question. Is the following statement true or false? Every single thing that happens to a person is a nisayon. Every single thing that happens to a person is a nisayon. How many people agree with that statement? How many people think that statement is not true? How many people don't think? A whole bunch. Okay. Non-committal. Okay. Let's talk about the mashal of Nekudat HaBechira of Rav Dessler. Are you familiar with it? Anybody? Okay, so it's not football season, right? Kitzer, all right? You guys forgot there was such a thing. You know? Anyway, Kitzer, here's the story. Here's the story. We'll get back to the mushel in a minute. The Rav Dessler uses a battlefield, but I think the football mushel actually works out a little bit better. But Rav Dessler basically says the same thing. Here's the story. Imagine there's a guy, and you'll pardon me for the mixed metaphors, all right? You get the idea. There's a guy by the name of Ali Baba, right? Ali Baba was brought up in Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, right? Ali Baba was, from birth, brought up in a community of thieves. 40 thieves. From birth, that's all he knew, was stealing and marauding and killing who knows what. This was Ali Baba. Ali Baba, when he would go on one of his escapades with all his friends, what was his nisayon? His nisayon was whether he should, when he steals from the guy, should he shoot him in the kneecap or not. That was his nisayon, okay? Stealing wasn't even a nisayon for him. Why? Because that's what he was brought up was the normal thing to do. Okay? Stealing wasn't a nisayon. It was so obvious that that is normal life. Nisayon for him was whether he should injure the person or not when he steals. Okay. This Ali Baba one day makes it to Yerushalayim and he visits the Kotel, and a guy from Eish HaTorah comes over to him and invites him for a meal Friday night. And, huh? Whatever. And the he goes and he joins Eish HaTorah. Alright? He's now in Eish HaTorah. What? First of all, this Ali Baba was Jewish. Okay? And he ends up in Eish HaTorah. I forgot that point. Bekitzer, he joins Eish HaTorah, and while he's there in Eish HaTorah, things happen. He starts learning. So what does he learn about first? What does he learn about first? He learns, guys, listen. He learns, the first thing that he learns is kashrus. You have to keep kosher. And then he learns about Shabbos. Okay? And then he learned, well, actually, before the kashrus, he learned that it's also to steal. All right? You have to be a be'afterei come over. And you have to be nice to people. And then he learned about kashrus. And then he learned about Shabbos. And then he learned about tefillah. And then he learned about Lima Torah. And then he learned about not wasting time. And then he learned about not talking Lashon Hara. And then he learned about Kavanah B'Tefillah. Alright? Bekitzer, he started moving upfield. He was all the way down here. He was stealing. And his Nisayon was around here, whether he should kill or not. Okay? Ritzicha, let's say. That was his Nisayon, Ritzicha. His Nisayon wasn't even Geza. But he moved upfield. As he moved upfield, what did we say was first? Was Gezel, Kashrut, Shabbat, Tfila, Talmud Torah, Kavanah B'Tfila, Lashon Hara, okay? Mitzu Azman, okay? Beagle's man, Beagle Torah. Okay? Nobody here, when you walk past the McDonald's, has a nisayon. Wow, I really would love that cheeseburger. You don't have that nisayon. We also don't even have a nisayon about Shmirat Shabbat. If we're nichshal in Shmirat Shabbat, it's because we don't know the halacha very well. But we're not nichshal. Wow, I really, should I or shouldn't I? Is there an element here of nisayon when it comes to Shmirat Shabbat? We don't have a nisayon when it comes to Ritzicha, or Gezel, or Kashrut, or Shabbat, or Tefillah, or Talmud Torah. Here we're getting into tough territory, okay? Kavanah B'Tefillah already is tough. Okay? Lashon Hara is tough. Beitul Torah is tough. Okay? Now, There are great people. Take a Reb Moshe Feinstein, okay? Maybe his nisayon was whether to have kavana in the Shemot Hashem, in the Azkarot, mentioning of Shemot Hashem in Tikkun Chatzot. So some of you guys are going to say, I surely don't have that nisayon because I have no idea what Tikkun Chatzot is. Right? So that obviously is not a nisayon. Okay? Kavana b'tikkun chatzot. That's a really high level. B'kitzur, says Rav Dessler, where is the nekudata b'chira? The nekudata b'chira is at the line of scrimmage. When a person's down here, when Ali Baba was over here, did he have a nisayon for kashrut and Shabbat? Of course not, I didn't even know what it was. When he was over here and his nisayon was kavanah and tefillah, he's already over here, he's moved upfield. He has, now his nisayon is here. Does he have a nisayon of kashrut, Shabbat? Of course not. His nisayon is here. It's no longer here because he's moved upfield, he's grown. Now, there is a possibility a person can move downfield, right? There's a fumble, there's an interception. Sometimes the guy makes mistakes and he regresses. That's possible. But hopefully, you're constantly moving and growing. We have a klal in halacha. A klal in, not so much in halacha, but a klal in machshava, Chazal say, kol hagadol michaveiro Yitzro gadol heimenu. Who's ever greater than the next guy, his yitzer is greater, is also greater. So what does this mean? This means that Rav Moshe Feinstein's yitzahara was stronger than our yitzahara. How do we understand that? Kol hagadol michaveiro, yitzro gadol heimenu. How does that work? Exactly like this. Because as one grows, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov have to be on equal footing, on equal ground. If they're not, it's too easy. Right? It's too easy. In order for this to be a real Nisayon, at the line of scrimmage, they both have to be just as powerful. And as one moves upfield, the defense gets stronger, right? Around here is the red zone. Right? When you get closer to the goal line, the Yetzer Hara digs in. The Yetzer Hara really fights now because it's crunch time. This is really where it gets difficult. The person who gets on a higher level, the Yetzer Hara is also on a higher level. Otherwise, there's no Nisayon because the Yetzer Tov, it's a cakewalk. The Yetzer Tov is too strong. No, it can't work that way. The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov have to be at equal strength, but it is on higher level issues. But as far as the strength of the Yetzer Hara, it's going to be as strong as the Yetzer Tov. So in other words, as strong as the Yetzer Hara is going to fight over here on the issue of Geza when the person's on this level, the Yetzer Hara is going to fight just as strong on the issue of Kavanat Betfila when a person's on this level. So it's true, the issues are on a higher level. But the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov is stronger here. But the Yetzer Hara is also going to be correspondingly stronger here. The Nisayon is only at the line of scrimmage. That's the point. In other words, there will be things which are beneath us and therefore not Nisayonot. Like we said, we don't have Sionot for Kashrut or Shabbat or things like that. We don't have that inside. But there are also things which are above us. There are things of which we're not on that level. We don't have a Nisayon for things that are way above us. Kavanah and Tikkun Chatzot and all things like that. We don't have that. That's not a Nisayon for us. We're not there yet. So now I ask you the question. Is how many people agree with the statement? Is everything that happens to us a Nisayon? The answer is clearly no. Because many things that happen to us are not nisyonot for us because they're way below us. There's no nisayon involved. There's no nisayon of us going into the McDonald's, and therefore, there's very little sachar for us not going into the McDonald's. Lefum tzara agra. We get very little sachar for not going into the McDonald's because that's not nisayon for us. And therefore, be'emet, there's very little growth for us now for not going into the McDonald's. The treif McDonald's. Okay. The Mahadra McDonald's, if there is one, is okay. But in any case, I don't know if there is one.
There is.
Okay, whatever. The Kitzer, hold on. And there is also things which are above us, which we obviously don't get sachar for, but we also don't get an opish for that either, that we didn't do it, because it's way above us. We're not on that level. We're not expected to do things that are not a nisayon for us. So is everything that happens to us a nisayon? No. Only things which happen to us which are at our nekudat habechira. Okay? Those are a nisayon. Only at our nekudat habechira. Question?
Yeah, you said the things are agra. What if someone obviously has the control not to go into the McDonald's, but if it smells really good, they might like have pain?
Someone who has, we'll talk about that in a second, okay? Someone who has a nisayon, for him, it is. There is sachar. Someone who has a nisayon.
It's not a nisayon, but it's pain, though. Something could be painful and not a
Let's ask the question. How do you know if something is a nisayon or not? We just said, not everything that happens to you is a nisayon. How do you know if it's a nisayon or not?
Do you think in your mind?
The answer is, if you think it's a nisayon, it's a nisayon. Okay? That's the answer. Is there an element of dilemma? Should I or shouldn't I? If there's an element of dilemma, then it's a nisayon. If there's no element of dilemma, I have pain, okay? There's no element of dilemma at all. It's not a nisayon, either because it's way below me or it's way above me. But if there is an element of a dilemma, if you think it's a nisayon, then it's a nisayon.
So, if you're at a certain spiritual level, there's like deeper sense of that are way above us that you would have no avenue to do. But if somehow we stumbled upon it, we would be able to talk about that?
Well, again, a person shouldn't. Let me just change the question a little bit. Things which are not on our level, okay? And therefore we have no nisayon, we really should not be doing. We really should not be doing. But wait a second. Don't get me wrong and think that something which is halacha, clear halacha that you have to do, a person can't say, well, I'm not on that level.
Well, kashrus is
what?
Kashrus is something clear halacha.
Clearly, of course. But I'm saying something that is, let's say, a hidur. A hidur or a chumrah that is not on your level, you should not be doing. And therefore, it may be not only something which you don't get sachar for, it might be a mistake to jump the rungs of the ladder to something that's not on your level is not a good idea. It's not a good move. Again, I stress, I'm not talking about something which is halakhically mandatory that everybody has to do. Let's just move on. Okay. Bekitzer, without nisyonot, there is no growth. Let me repeat that because it's really important. The whole purpose of this world is to increase our kli kibul. To rephrase it, the whole purpose of this world is to move upfield. To get closer and get on a higher level and build our kli kibul and to make ourselves on a higher level. To move upfield, to make our nekudat habechira on a higher level. In other words, there is no nisayon without, there is no growth without nisayon. There is no growth without nisyonot. Are nisyonot a good thing or a bad thing? Nisayon. Without nisayon, there's no growth. The whole purpose of this world is growth. So obviously, lechor, it's got to be a good thing, right? You could, but the whole point of this world is to move upfield, okay? And you can't move upfield unless there are nisyonot. So nisyonot are a good thing. Anybody disagree?
Yeah. No. Why? Because they obviously have a bad element, then too, you can't see something.
Bring me a raya. Not just
Oh,
beautiful. We daven every morning. Al tevienu lo lidei nisayon v'lo lidei bizayon. How can it be that we can't do anything with this within this world without nisayon? The whole purpose of this world is growth. There is no growth without nisyonot. And on the other hand, we daven every day. Al tevienu lidei nisayon. How does that make any sense?
Don't give in to your
nisayon. No, that's not what it says. Al tevienu lidei nisayon. Don't bring nisyonot. I'll make the question even stronger. Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonot, right? At the end of the 10 nisyonot, says the Medrash, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Akedah, I went through 10 nisyonot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, no more nisyonot. How old was Avraham Avinu at the time of the Akedah, according to Chazal? 136, right? 136. How many years did Avraham Avinu live?
175.
In other words, he lived another, how many years? 39 years. For the last 39 years of his life, he had a worthless life. He had no nisyonot. He had no growth. How does that make any sense? He asked for no nisyonot. Is that true? You have to get to a level where you don't have to have nisyonot. So what's the purpose of living? We just said the whole point of living is moving further, growing, passing nisyonot. That's the whole point of life. Here's a big yesod. Okay, I'll answer the question. The question's a very good question. Shkoyach. Question's a very good question. The answer is the following. Just like the briskers say, there are two dinim in nisyonot. There are tzvei dinim in nisyonot. There are two types of nisyonot. Basically, there are big nisyonot and little nisyonot. There are big, giant nisyonot, which are life-threatening nisyonot. These life-threatening nisyonot are nisyonot which a person can make a tremendous jump and cover a tremendous amount of ground, these nisyonot. But they're very dangerous. Imagine a person is walking and he comes to a giant ravine. And the ravine, there's two ways to get across to the other side. He could either walk 25 miles out of the way and get to the other side, or he can make a giant running jump and get to the other side. Now, if he does that, he saved himself walking 25 miles. On the other hand, if he doesn't make it, he can drop into the bottom of the ravine. In other words, there are nisyonot which a person can jump from a very low level to a very high level with a very short amount of time. On the other hand, it's life-threatening. You know what we call it in football? A Hail Mary, right? A Hail Mary, you can go from one end of the field all the way to the other end of the field. But everybody knows, you throw the ball up, it's really easy for it to get intercepted, right? You throw that kind of pass, good chance it's going to get picked off. Much greater chance. But on the other hand, you've saved yourself, you know, those short gains. It's life-threatening, but it has a great chance of great growth. It's like jumping to the 10th rung of the ladder, okay? You've saved yourself 10 rungs, but it's dangerous. Those are the big nisyonot. Then there are little nisyonot. The little nisyonot are very short and sure steps, right? Hand off to the fullback. Those, most of the time, are worthwhile. You don't make cover a lot of ground, but you gain. You gain slowly but surely. Those kind of nisayonot are not life-threatening, but you only cover a little amount of ground. Okay, we know that there are nisyonot in life. Some people are given nisyonot. Rachmana litzlan, we don't want those nisyonot. I'll give you an example. Somebody is given a sick child. Okay? A sick child or a child with real special needs. None of us want that. None of us ask for that. But many of us might have come into contact with families that have gone through this, and they're amazing. They're amazing, the amount of growth that they, as a family, and on a personal level, have had. I know a very good friend of ours, very good friends of ours, they have a Down syndrome child, who, Rachmana Litzlan, now needs a real refuah. She has cancer, leukemia. But this family is a family of tzaddikim, because the growth that they have gone through in the last 20 odd years of their lives, the whole family changed, or not changed because she was the firstborn, but the whole family grew into this, and they're really very special people. So this was a type of nisayon which none of us ask for. None of us want. Lefech, we ask that we shouldn't get such a kind of a great nisayon. Al tivyei lidei nisayon. These kind of nisayon we don't want. But if a person gets it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses him for that kind of nisayon, very often those can be amazing jumps. On the other hand, they're life-threatening. Some people are given a tremendous nisayon like that, and they end up going terrible places. Okay? Other families who I know that terrible situation like that have led to divorce, and who knows, break up with the whole family. So it can bring a tremendous amount of growth, but on the other hand, it could also be very destructive. Those kind of nisyonot, we don't want. But there are small, little nisyonot, which are the life of every single day. The nisayon to have kavanah of tefillah three times a day. The nisayon of having a kavanah with a bracha that we make each time. The nisayon of utilizing the time that we're learning. The nisayon of not speaking lashon hara. The nisayon of showing appreciation to our friends. Those are little nisyonot. They're not life-threatening if you don't do it. But on the other hand, without that, there is no life. There is no growth without the little nisyonot of life. Do we want those nisyonot? Of course we want those nisyonot. And without that, there is no life. That's not the kind of nisyonot we daven not to have. We want those nisyonot. That's what life's all about. Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've had 10 unbelievable life-threatening nisyonot. The last life-threatening and spiritual life-threatening. Spiritually life-threatening. I don't want any more of those. I'm spent. I've done 10 of them. The last one being the Akedah. Those type don't bring me anymore. But the little nisyonot of life, of course I want. I have another 39 years to live. I have another 39 years of growth. Of course I want those type of nisyonot. That's what life is all about. And that's what we, when we daven, lowly de nisayon, the lowly de nisayon, we're talking about the great giant nisayon, not the little nisayon. So what did we do today? We dealt with why there is a need for a physical world. And we answer, number one, in order that it shouldn't be nama de kisufa. Number two, the reason why we need a physical world is a physical world has, by definition, a beginning and an end. It's not the world of the Ein Sof. And because it has a beginning and an end, it has movement. And because it has movement, it has growth. And the whole purpose of this world is to grow our Kli Kibul, to be able to gain more from Ribono Shel Olam. In the Olam HaNitzchi, there is no change. There is no growth. We grow through nisyonot. We grow through nisyonot. We explain how we grow through nisyonot. The nekudata bechirav of Rav Dessler, that we go from one level to the next level. And the nisayon of a person is only at the line of scrimmage. It's only at nekudata bechirav. And we explained also, what do we mean when we say to every single morning, Al tivieni loli de nisayon veloli de vizayon. We don't mean that we don't want any nisyonot. We just ask that we shouldn't have these spiritually life-threatening, gigantic jump type of nisyonot. But the regular day-to-day small nisyonot of growth that we surely want, because without of that, there is no life. Okay, everyone.